content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Demi Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Lion Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Winter 2024 issue of Lion Magazine. We'll start today with our Global Services Department from an article from Brazil entitled Clean Water Year Round. Lions take action to protect and conserve water, local water sources. The village of Barreiro de Guaxi, located in Gouveia, a neighboring municipality of Diamantina, Minas Gerais, Brazil, is a place of scenic beauty with waterfalls and mountains that attract visitors for hiking and outdoor sports. In 2013, the water source supplying the area was nearly dry during the time of greatest need. Village residents approached the Diamantina Lions Club with an action plan to protect and conserve the source by planting native seedlings. The club agreed to lead the replantar project in the areas surrounding the Sentinela and Cristais waterfalls in Diamantina, and in the village of Barreiro de Guaxi. Sorry for my pronunciations. They partnered with the State Forest Institute, also known as IEFMG, which provided seedlings and labor, which transported the seedlings and assisted the work, and the Major Agonor Scout Group, whose members helped with the planting. The execution of the project, the dates, the responsibilities of each project, each party, and post-planting actions, such as raising awareness among residents about caring for the seedlings and preventing fires and destruction, were negotiated with a group of village residents and the manager of the Biribiri State Park, where the waterfalls are located. The Lions traveled in a van to carry out the effort with their partners. IEF employees dug their holes while the others fertilized and planted the seedlings. In Barreiro de Guaxi, some residents joined the group and planted around the water source and in the local square. Despite the installation of protective fences, some trees around the waterfalls did not survive due to the weather and soil conditions. However, the trees that thrived now enhance the landscape, provide shade for visitors, and feed birds and wildlife with their fruits. The seedlings around the water source grew and fulfilled their purpose to protect and ensure a continuous supply of clean drinking water. We have a lot to thank the Lions Club for the recovery and preservation of our water source and for planting seedlings of a native species, says resident Cesar A. Barroso Maciel. I and other residents seek good quality water from the source for our family's consumption. The initiative to plant trees in the square has also made us aware of the importance of caring for and beautifying our place. And next, and also in our Global Service Department, from the United States, a fresh start. New program helps clubs welcome refugees. In New Jersey, the Edison Visionary Lions Club has been busy putting out welcome mats for their new neighbors, two refugee families from Afghanistan. They are the first club to participate in Lions International's new service opportunity, Engage to Change, a pilot program co-sponsored by the Welcome U.S., by Welcome.us, that helps clubs partner directly with a local resettlement agency in welcoming and supporting refugee families as they start anew. Mahesh Chitnis, club president and past council chairperson, says the club worked closely with staff at Church World Service in Jersey City, securing permanent housing for the families by providing 3 months' rent through a resettlement grant and helping with groceries and furnishings. For the first family to arrive, a family of seven, it is the first time in more than 3 years they are living together under one roof, or even in the same country. The club's mission is to work on causes relevant to families, says Chitnis. We worked on getting them the support they need, not just from us, but by making them self-sufficient in our communities, making sure that they belong here. Many Lions in the club are immigrants and have experience working with other immigrants. They understand the logistical needs of moving to a new country and appreciate the importance of acclimating to a new culture. After welcoming the first family, the Lions learned about extended family members, also from Afghanistan, being resettled in the Edison area. Recognizing the importance of having family nearby, they opened their arms as a co-sponsor, welcoming the two parents and three young children. Organization was key to the Lions' success. A team of 6 to 10 Lions acted as key liaisons between the refugee affiliate, the club, and the family, says Chitness. Using a shared online app, club members defined roles and delegated tasks. They also learned on one of their biggest assets is a local Lions club, their community connections. Working with a variety of local leaders, including the city council and school board, the Lions offered a support network for their family as they set down their own roots. It is a collaboration, Chitness says. It has been a good experience for us so far, and this is just the beginning of the story. The reason most of us join any of the service organizations is for that fuzzy feeling in the heart. We are doing something for someone. This is probably the peak of that feeling that any one of us would ever get. All right, and next we're moving over to our features department, beginning with an article titled Princess Power. Young girls and police officers dance their way to stronger community relations. The Edgemoor neighborhood of Wilmington, Delaware, is a community challenged by violence, especially due to the prevalence of guns, gangs, and drugs, which often enter from the outside. Committed to serving their community, the Belafonte Lions Club is doing its part to turn the area around. The club's involvement started with a chess club for kids. Then they created a bike club. When kids wanted to ride bikes but didn't have them, they secured some through donations. The Lions also involved the kids in some of their service, like picking up trash around the community. Through these activities, the children get to experience how good it feels to volunteer. Creating change. As the club became farther integrated into the community, Daniel Elkins, club president, past district governor for District 22, and board appointee to the Lions Club's International Board of Directors, met Sergeant Tracy Duffy of the New Castle County Police Department, who was serving on foot patrol in Edgemoor. Elkins and Duffy quickly bonded over their dedication to creating change in the community, and soon he recruited Duffy into their club. Duffy's passion for service wasn't the only thing she brought to the club. She also brought a vision for an event that could make a significant impact in the community, and she needed the help of her fellow Lions and other community groups to bring it to life. That vision was the Police and Princess Ball. Young women in the Edgemoor community would be invited to a special event where they would be treated like princesses for the evening. In formal dresses, they would take a party bus to an upscale venue and enjoy dinner and dancing, all alongside area police officers and other local law enforcement. The event would be largely covered through donations and run by volunteers, including the Lions. This is about building relationships and breaking down barriers, says Duffy. When we show our face in the community, we want the young women and their parents to recognize us as people who keep others safe. Bigger than one event. The Police and Princess Ball has grown quite a bit since it began in 2018, and its reach supersedes the immediate community. On November 8, 2023, 120 girls from across the state, most in the age of the 6 to 13 age range, attended the event. Police officers from New Castle County, the University of Delaware, the City of Wilmington, the Delaware State Police, the Delaware Probation and Parole all participated. The theme was Stepping into Positivity and included a performance by iSTEP, Delaware's State University award-winning STEP team. This event is bigger than me, says Duffy. Each individual agency or officer who attends is developing a relationship with these girls. They are creating an understanding that police are human. We laugh and cry and dance just like everyone else. The young women entered the event escorted by a member of law enforcement, stopping briefly to pose for photographs. Lions lined the entryway to offer each girl a white carnation, a seemingly simple gesture that carries a lot of significance. "I don't think that we as Lions fully understand the impact of that," says Duffy. "The act of giving these girls a flower as a token to welcome them to the event, without asking for anything in return, is so much greater than anything else in the world." Opening doors for new Lions and Leos. For Lion Michelle Dobson and her daughter Mackenzie, residents of Edgemoor, the event is a magical experience. Michelle, who runs a community house in the area, plays a key role in spreading awareness of the event and distributing donated dresses. Mackenzie, age 15 and a Leo, has attended the event every year since its inception. "When my mom told me about the ball, the first year I said, I'll try it out," says Mackenzie. "But then I got there. I felt like a princess. I felt like I could do something for once. I felt really excited because we don't usually get to do things like that." Michelle is dedicated to the event because of the impact it has on the children. "It really builds trust with law enforcement because a lot of kids are afraid of them," she says. "It closes that gap and helps the kids see them as real people." As a Leo, Mackenzie is an active volunteer in her community, helping to mentor younger children. Through the police and Princess Ball, she has seen her neighborhood grow in its trust of Lions and Leos, allowing them to offer additional youth programming, including homework help and painting. For the Belafonte Lions, the police and Princess Ball has not only brought a change in attitudes toward law enforcement, but has also exposed their mission of service to new audiences, which is helping to diversify clubs throughout the Delaware Valley. "Early on, I felt a little like I was on the outside looking in," says Duffy. "I was like, oh my gosh, all those things my fellow Lions are doing are amazing. And as I got more involved, I realized, hey, I am one of those Lions, and this feels amazing." Belafonte Lions tips for success. The Belafonte Lions have had a lot of success inviting community members to join their club. Here are their top 5 tips. Number 1, have a conversation, not an elevator speech. There's a difference between talking to and talking with someone. Number 2, find out what a potential Lion is passionate about and learn what gifts and talents they have. Everyone has a skill that could help increase your club's capacity to serve. Number 3, listen to their story, tell them how Lions service can connect with their interests, and then ask them to join the family. Number 4, build partnerships with other organizations in your community to create more service opportunities. The more you serve, the more members you will gain. And number 5, always be ready to recruit. Don't leave home without a membership application. All right, and our next article, also from our features, is Breaking Barriers, Pioneering Black Lions Club Emerges During Civil Rights Movement. In the early 1960s, C.W. McClure, the principal of a school for black children in Eagle Lake, Texas, was in the five and dime buying school supplies for his students when the white store owner approached him. "Do any of your students need glasses?" he asked McClure. "I'm an officer in the local Lions Club, and if they need glasses, you get me their names, their parents' names, and we'll get glasses for them." McClure, who passed away shortly before this magazine went to print, never forgot that day or the kindness shown. But it wasn't the first he had heard of Lions Clubs. As a college student, he worked evenings and weekends as a waiter at the prestigious Commodore Perry Hotel in Austin. Lions would frequent the restaurant, and he'd often overhear them discussing their service project. I thought that was pretty good, he said. He and his college friend and fellow educator, Charles Akins, were also intrigued by the numerous signs they saw posted in small towns promoting local Lions clubs. However, they couldn't envision ever being welcomed into a club in their segregated world. Across town, then-District Governor E.B. Tex Meyer was thinking differently. Several years before, serving as a Lions Club International Director from 1970 to 72, Meyer was developing plans to diversify his district. He began meeting with Black businessmen and educators to talk about the importance of Lions service in the community. A new club is born. In August 1967, 8 months before the Civil Rights Act of 1968 was signed into law, the Austin Capital City Lions Clubs held their first meeting on the campus of Huston-Tillotson University, a private historically Black university and Austin's first institute of higher learning. More than 50 men, including McClure and Akins, attended. The club, which they believed to be the first predominantly Black club in the United States, continues to meet on the historic campus to this day. The new Lions immediately forged ahead with vision projects, helping families, supporting schools, and proudly adding a bench to the bus stop on the east side of town where there had never been one before. While they seamlessly settled into their roles as Lions in their communities, their presence sometimes left other Lions surprised. McClure's yellow vest bears pins from the various international conventions he and Akins attended, reminding him of when Lions would ask what country they were from. They had never seen a Black Lion from the United States, he said, chuckling, but they got educated and we adapted. It was all fine. Lions lead the way. Many early Austin Capital City Lions became well known in Austin, admired for their achievements and for their leadership. Lion Edna Rombo was the first African American to graduate with a bachelor's degree from the University of Texas at Austin in 1958. Collegiate life wasn't easy for her, but Rombo remained committed to her studies and stayed strong through harassment from fellow students. It was not just for herself, she says, but to set an example for her three younger siblings. With her bachelor's degree in education, she went on to earn a master's degree from Wichita State before returning to Austin to teach in K-12 schools. Akins, who died in 2017, worked 44 years in education and was the first African-American teacher at an integrated Austin Independent School District High School after desegregation. He recalled the mornings of meeting the bus as it pulled up to the school to handle conflicts between students who had never been together before. In 2000, W. Charles Akins High School in Austin was named for him. The list of accomplishments of club members goes on. Building a rich history. Lion Trevor McLean believes it's important to know the club's history. You can't know where you're going if you don't know where you came from, he says. McLean joined the club in January of 2023 when then-President David Bell reached out on LinkedIn and invited him to a meeting. Inspired by the club's history and impressed by their service, he soon became the Diabetes Awareness Chairperson for District 2S3 and took on the role of tail twister in his club. At his first meeting, McLean says, I was immediately taken by how open and transparent everyone was with their opinions. Everybody's voices were respected and honored, and the most senior members are our pillars, always welcoming and encouraging us to take a leadership position. In 2022, the club celebrated its 55th anniversary. While the majority of their 39 members are Black, it's not a one-size-fits-all club. It's a multicultural club, and everyone who wants to serve is welcome, says McLean, who's 38 years old. Men and women in their 20s through their 90s are on the roster, including charter members McClure and Lion Paul Bailey, a retired college administrator. And the historic club is showing no signs of slowing down. Their service projects are frequent and varied, including vision screenings, planting a garden with middle school students, helping with a fan drive to provide heat relief to the elderly, raising funds to offer scholarships to students, and dedicating a bench at Austin's historic Bethany Cemetery, just to name a few. In addition, they have welcomed more than 20 new members in the past 2 years, and they go to great lengths to ensure all members feel valued and proud to be Lions. What makes McLean most proud to be an Austin Capital City Lion, he says, is that I get to show my daughter that I am active in the community through Lions. I want her to care more about the world than just the world inside her home. And next, we're going to move over to our LCIF department, beginning with Vision for Change, Addressing Eye Health Challenges. In Pakistan, there are 570,000 adults grappling with blindness due to cataracts. This is the most common cause of avoidable blindness in the country, with 51.5% of the blind community burdened with it. Additionally, 11.77% of citizens in Pakistan have type 2 diabetes mellitus, with 29% of those people experiencing diabetic retinopathy, also known as DR, an eye condition that can cause vision loss and blindness in people who have diabetes. Lions saw the magnitude of this problem in Pakistan and knew it needed to be addressed. The Lions of District 305N2 received a Sight First grant of $131,463 from Lions Clubs International Foundation, also known as LCIF, to develop infrastructure and expand diagnostic and treatment services for cataracts, uncorrected refractive errors, also known as UREs, and DR at the Hospital of Khyber Eye Foundation, also known as KEF. KEF was established as a charitable hospital in 1998. On average, KEF examines approximately 54,000 outpatients, organizes 18 outreach camps, and performs cataract surgeries on 5,500 individuals each year. Approximately 8,000 people with diabetes are examined and managed by their medical specialist or diabetologist each year. In addition, KEF monitors glaucoma patients and performs glaucoma surgeries. Each year, KEF also diagnoses approximately 900 patients with glaucoma, performs multiple surgery, and often offers treatments with topical eye drops. KEF is also dedicated to addressing these illnesses at an early age to ensure children are not burdened with the stress of vision problems. They run a school-based screening program for children ages 6 to 10. The program includes free eye exams to identify refractive errors and other eye conditions, free eyeglasses, referrals to KEF for students in need of further treatment, and education on avoidable blindness and personal hygiene. KEF has an optical workshop that provides a range of prescriptions for school children and paying individuals with URE. Between 2008 and 2016, KEF performed 17,118 refraction assessments and distributed 12,402 pairs of spectacles. Last year, 80% of patients who received a cataract surgery had good outcomes, so Lions are hoping to expand on that success to serve more people in Pakistan. The LCIF grant will enable Lions to purchase the equipment necessary to conduct eye exams and treat cataracts, URE, and DR. This includes a new argon laser, since KEF's current one has not been functional for the last 3 years, and will allow staff to reinstate laser treatments for DR patients. With this investment in equipment, Lions will ensure tens of thousands of people across the country never suffer from vision loss. Through this impactful grant funding, Lions in Pakistan will reach people dealing with diabetes-related vision impairment, cataracts, and more. Their efforts will prevent blindness and restore sight, offering patients a renewed chance to see. and you can learn more about how Lions and LCIF work to improve the lives of the visually impaired and those suffering from diabetes on the website at www.lionsclubs.org. And our final article for today, Riverside 83, Easing Food Insecurity with Support from LCIF. Being able to fully grasp how deeply hunger affects lives can be difficult if you have not faced it yourself. Almost 1 billion people worldwide experience food insecurity, and in Haldimand and Norfolk County, Canada, 1 in 9 households are food insecure due to poverty. Addressing the issue of hunger, however, is not just about numbers. To truly make a difference, hunger relief must be approached with empathy and innovative action. For Lions around the world, this means building effective partnerships with organizations like Riverside 83 Community Food Club. Riverside 83 in West Haldimand, Ontario, is Norfolk County's new food-focused community center, and it is changing lives. This center includes an area for at-risk youth to learn cooking skills and receive certifications to boost their job hunting opportunities. Plus, there is a budget bistro for providing those who are homeless or struggling financially with free or affordable meals from food grown in 5 community gardens and donated by local businesses and farmers. As the community was rallying around this innovative approach to hunger relief, the Lions in District A2 knew they wanted to contribute. 9 local Lions clubs, including Simcoe Lynn Valley, Simcoe, Waterford, Port Dover, Jarvis, South Brant, Vittoria, Hagersville, and Townsend helped fund this project. Also, with LCIF Coordinator Bob Townsend, Treasurer Pam Bala, and District Governor Jeff Crane working together, the Lions were awarded a hunger grant of $16,275 from Lions Clubs International Foundation, also known as LCIF. Their efforts, paired with the LCIF grant, helped to bring the project to life. This grant purchased furniture for Riverside 83, including restaurant-grade tables and chairs. They were able to furnish the teaching kitchen, the budget bistro, and the trendy cafe and provide places for volunteers who provide food, hampers, and frozen meals to sit and relax. And unfortunately, I'm running out of time to finish that article, but you can visit lcif.org/hunger to learn more about this story and other LCIF hunger grants. And unfortunately, we've run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine, but be sure to join in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call at 919-832-5138. And again, that number is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Have a great day.